Here's a question that should make you a little uncomfortable. That beautiful color radar picture on your tablet right now. The greens and yellows and reds painting exactly where the weather is. How old is it? Really? Not the number in the corner, the real answer. I'm Vector, and this is Clear Direct on Radio Hangar, where we take the technology in your cockpit apart to see how it actually works. And today we are going to talk about one of the most useful tools ever handed to general aviation, and one of the most quietly misunderstood, Datalink Weather Radar, the NEXRAD image that beams up to your cockpit for free. Let's break this down, because the promise is enormous, and the trap inside it has killed people who were doing everything else right. This segment is supported by AviationSoul.com. They make aviation challenge coins that mark the real milestones. First solo, private pilot, instrument rated, CFI, the whole journey, beautifully made and built to last. When you finally punch through that rating you have been grinding on, mark it with something you can hold, AviationSoul.com. So let's start with what this technology even is, because most pilots use it every single flight and have never really looked under the hood. NEXRAD stands for Next Generation Radar. It is a network of about 160 big ground-based Doppler weather radar sites run by the National Weather Service, the Federal Aviation Administration, and the military. These are the giant white golf balls you have driven past on the highway. Each one sends out a pulse of energy, listens for what bounces back off precipitation, and builds a picture of where the rain and hail and snow are, and how hard it's coming down. That's ground radar. Enormous, powerful, precise. Nothing you could ever fit in a Cessna. Now, how does that picture get to your cockpit? Two main ways. And the difference matters more than almost anything else we'll talk about today. The first way is FISB. That's Flight Information Service Broadcast. It rides on the same universal access transceiver Datalink as the 978 MHz version of ADS-B, Automatic Dependent Surveillance Broadcast. If you have a portable receiver in the window, or a panel mount that pulls in traffic and weather for free, this is almost certainly what you're looking at. It's broadcast up from FAA ground stations. You don't pay a dime for it. That's a genuine gift of the modern airspace system. The second way is satellite. Companies like SiriusXM broadcast weather down from space to a receiver in your airplane, and you pay a monthly subscription for it. We'll come back to why anyone would pay when the other one is free. Here's what most people miss. Neither of these is showing you what your airplane sees. Your airplane sees nothing. There is no radar in the nose of a typical piston single. What you are looking at is a picture assembled on the ground, packaged up and shipped to you, and shipping takes time. That's the whole ball game right there. Let me explain why. The data tells an interesting story, and it starts with a word, mosaic. The picture you see is not one radar. It's dozens of them stitched together into a single seamless image. The National Weather Service takes the sweeps from all those ground sites and blends them into what's called a mosaic, a composite. That stitching takes processing time. Then it has to be uplinked. Then your receiver has to grab it and draw it. And here's the part that gets pilots into trouble. There is a timestamp on that image. A lot of pilots, honest, careful, instrument-rated pilots, look at that timestamp and think it tells them how old the weather picture is. It does not. That timestamp tells you when the mosaic was created. When the pieces were assembled, it does not tell you when the actual radar beams swept through that thunderstorm, and those can be very different numbers. Think about it like a group photo taken by a slow committee. The timestamp on the final print says the photo was finished at 10 o'clock. But one person in the frame sat down for their part of the picture at 9:45. By the time you're looking at the print, that person has gotten up and walked across the room. The photo is fresh. The information inside it is stale. The FAA and the National Transportation Safety Board have both put out warnings about exactly this. The NTSB issued a safety alert on cockpit weather displays after investigating accidents where pilots flew into convective weather while looking at a radar image that seemed current. The finding was blunt. The age indicator on the display can understate the true age of the weather data by a significant margin. Studies cited by the FAA found the actual age of the NEXRAD imagery could be as much as 15 to 20 minutes older than the age shown on the screen. 15 to 20 minutes. Let that sit for a second. Now let's talk about why that number is not just a technicality. It's a matter of physics and speed. A developing thunderstorm is one of the fastest changing things in the natural world. A cumulus cell can build into a mature thunderstorm in 20 to 30 minutes. Tops can climb thousands of feet per minute. And the storm itself is moving across the ground, sometimes at 30, 40, 50 knots. So take a cell that's moving at 40 knots. In 15 minutes, that cell has physically relocated 10 nautical miles from where your screen is painting it. 10 miles, that is the difference between a comfortable deviation and flying into the side of a building made of water and hail. And it's worse than just movement, because the storm isn't only sliding sideways, it's growing. The gap between two cells that looks like a nice clear alley on your tablet, wide enough to slide through, may have already closed by the time you get there. You are navigating a canyon using a map of where the walls used to be. Here's the honest engineering reality. Your Datelink radar is a rear view mirror, a really good, really wide rear view mirror, but you do not drive by looking in the mirror. Let me be balanced here, because I never want to talk you out of using a tool this good. Datelink NexRad is one of the greatest safety advances general aviation has ever received, and I mean that. For strategic decisions, it is superb. Where is the line of weather? Which way is it moving? Is the whole system to my west solid, or is it broken up with room to maneuver? Should I even launch, or should I go get a coffee and wait 2 hours? Is that airport ahead of me under the worst of it, so I should divert to the one behind me? For those big picture minutes to hours kind of decisions, Datelink weather is fantastic, and it has absolutely saved lives. It gives a single pilot in a light airplane a view of the whole national weather situation that an airline captain in 1970 would have envied. The failure mode is tactical. It is when a pilot tries to use that same picture to thread between individual cells in real time, to pick their way through a line, turn by turn, trusting the greens and yellows to show a safe path right now. That is the mission the technology cannot do. Not because it's badly built, but because of the unavoidable delay between the radar and your screen. So, what does see the weather right now? That's where onboard radar and lightning detection come in, and it's worth understanding the trade-offs. Because this is where the satellite subscription question comes back: onboard weather radar. The kind in the nose of a bigger twin or a turboprop is looking at the actual water droplets ahead of your airplane this instant. Zero latency. That's the strength. The weaknesses are real too. It has a limited range and a narrow beam. So you see a slice, not the whole sky. And it suffers from attenuation. A heavy cell up close can absorb the radar energy so completely that it hides a second, even worse cell right behind it. That shadow is called the shadow effect, or radar attenuation. And pilots have flown into the storm hiding behind the storm they could see. So onboard radar is real time, but it needs a trained interpreter and it has blind spots. Lightning detection, like a storm scope, is a completely different approach. Instead of bouncing energy off rain, it listens for the electrical discharges of lightning and plots them. It's instantaneous, and lightning is a direct marker of the violent convective activity you most want to avoid. It won't paint gentle rain, and it's not a precision map, but for finding the dangerous stuff right now, it's a genuinely real-time sensor. Now, the satellite versus FISB question. Why pay SiriusXM when the FAA gives you FISB for free? A few honest engineering reasons. The satellite broadcast generally refreshes faster and gives you a higher resolution national picture. And it works on the ground and at low altitude anywhere in the country. Whereas the free FISB depends on being within line of sight and altitude range of a ground station, down low in a valley, the free signal can drop out. But, and this is the part people forget, the paid satellite version has the exact same fundamental latency problem. It is still a ground-assembled mosaic. Paying money does not make the picture live. It makes it a little fresher and a little more reliable in coverage. It does not turn a rear-view mirror into a windshield. So, here's how a systems thinker uses all of this together. Datalink NexRad is your strategic layer. The big picture updated every few minutes for the big decisions. Treat every image as older than it claims, and give the weather a wide berth. The classic guidance from the National Weather Service and experienced instructors is at least 20 nautical miles from any cell, and honestly more if it's building. Then, if you have it, onboard radar or a lightning detector is your tactical layer. That's what you trust for the close-in, right now picture. And underneath all of it, the oldest sensor in the airplane, your eyes look outside. If you're in visual conditions and there's a black wall of rain and a green tint to the sky ahead, no timestamp on any device overrules that. Who's building this? And where is it going? The National Weather Service has been steadily upgrading the NexRad network with dual polarization, which sends the radar pulse in both horizontal and vertical orientations. That upgrade lets the radar tell the difference between rain, hail, snow, and even debris lofted by a tornado. It's genuinely better science, but notice, it makes the picture more accurate. It does not make it arrive faster. The latency is baked into the architecture of assembling and broadcasting a mosaic, not into the quality of any one radar. There's promising work on faster refresh rates and on displays that show the trend, the storm's motion vector, so you can mentally project where a cell is headed rather than just where it was. That trending is the right direction because it's honest about the delay instead of hiding it. The best cockpit weather tool of the next decade won't be the one that claims to be live. It'll be the one that's honest about how old it is and helps you think ahead of it. Here's what I want you to carry out to the airplane. The technology is not lying to you, but the timestamp almost is. That number in the corner is when the picture was framed, not when the storm was photographed. Add 10, 15, 20 minutes in your head, assume the weather has moved and grown since, and use that gorgeous free radar for the big picture it's brilliant at. Never for threading the needle. The details today came from the National Transportation Safety Board's safety alert on cockpit weather displays, the FAA's guidance on datelink weather in the Aeronautical Information Manual, and the National Weather Service's own material on the NEXRAD network. If you want the links, they're at radiohanger.com. Fly with the picture. Just don't trust it to be as young as it looks. I'm Vector. Keep thinking about the system, and I'll see you next time.